Greetings to all of you, friends and strangers. I greet you in the name of Jesus. This morning, I would like to talk about the meaningless things of life. Turn with me, and I'm just going to be right up front. If you want to absorb the maximum content of this chapter, turn with me to Ecclesiastes. It doesn't take you long to realize, you don't get very far into Ecclesiastes before you realize that Solomon, he was long on experience, but it feels like he was really short on rewards. And it's interesting that at the end of a lot of his chapters, or somewhere in the middle of his chapters, he attributes a couple verses where he recognizes God. But then he just goes right back and laments again about the vanities of life. I think that chapter 2, for me, there's a lot of interesting chapters here in Ecclesiastes that I like to read, but I'd like to read chapter 2 this morning of Ecclesiastes. Follow along with me as I read. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself into wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made great works. I builded my houses. I planted my vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me again men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom, at madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I have taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have shown myself wise under the sun? This is also vanity. Therefore I went out to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor, and of all the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Well, so this is a rather enlightening chapter. There's a couple of things that just sort of stood out to me, and you probably noticed as well, and maybe noticed other things. But in verse 14, we see that the wise man and the fool, they both have the same death. That's their end. Death is an equalizer. Possessions do not bring peace. In verse 23, he said, his heart taketh not rest in the night. And we're probably all the same here, but most of us has probably woke up in the middle of the night between 2 and 4 a.m. and the floodgates just sort of opened up, and the cares and the stress of life and work and things just come flooding in. No rest at night. And then upon death, in 18, 19, and 20, upon death, somebody else is going to get all that you have labored for. So this was perplexing. And I would just like to page forward. And I want to take a little verse out of chapter 7. It's verse 13. And this phrase is mentioned twice in the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 7, verse 13, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? I'm not exactly sure what he is referring to here, but he also mentions it in chapter 1. So since I'm not sure, I'm going to tell you briefly what I take out of this reading and make my interpretation. I think God purposefully makes life difficult when people don't follow his ways and his purpose. Your way is not going to be straight. And people try with all their might, whether it's in possessions or fame, money, land, you name it, in political world. They continue to try to make that way straight and to make it easy, to make it purposeful, to bring, you know, meaning to life. This is why I live. This is why I was born. I was born to do this. But regardless of how hard we try, we're not going to make that way straight. It is going to be a hard road for anybody who puts his confidence in the possessions and things of this life. We're not going to straighten it. Solomon didn't, and Mark isn't. I'd like to think about what our responsibility is in life, and what do we, as people here, as Christians abroad, and I think all of us know there's things in life what bring joy and peace, and what bring stress, and what don't bring fulfillment. And the older I get, the more I realize that relationships with you people is so critically important for me. And that's one of the things that I think is important for all of us to remember, is how strengthening that relationships are, how valuable that you brethren are to me. And, you know, we can all observe the difference in lives that possess things and lives that give things. And you know, it'd be too simplistic to say that you can really just break it down to those two things, the people that give and the people that get. But I know the people that I like to be associated with and like to be with, and it's those people who give. And I would just like, for our final reminder here, to remind us that it is because of Jesus Christ. Without him in this picture, we're all on this crooked way trying to make it straight. And, you know, it's just a tremendous opportunity we have to know Christ's way. Tremendous opportunity. And I'd just like to read in John 10:10, the last part of the verse. If you and I want to know where life comes from and who gives life, in John 10:10, it says, the end, last part of the verse, he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Here is a huge contrast of what Jesus promises and what the world promises. And I am so thankful that with a great peace that we can walk throughout life with, and to know that Jesus Christ is the Master of Peace. He left heaven, and I think we say left heaven, came to earth, often without thinking what those few words actually mean. If I told you this morning that I came from Mars, okay, you immediately recognize that that's really, really a foreign place. We don't know much about Mars. We know a little bit about Mars. But it's a bad comparison to what Jesus actually left. And I think that we as human mankind, as Christians, have a responsibility to recognize that Jesus is the way, and he came to give us life and to give to us abundantly. And I hope that we can believe that and we can live that out when we go out tomorrow morning and we face those things in life, the stress. Let's remember that Jesus Christ is the giver of life, and he is the one who gives us peace on this earth, and we live for him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God and Father of all mankind, we come to you knowing that at times we are distracted by the temporal, and we want to just anew refresh our focus upon you, and we want to understand that you're the one who loves us and desires our worship. Help us to not be so focused on the earthly things, but to be so much more focused on the heavenly, and help us to live our lives in a way that is appreciative of your great gift of life, of eternal life. Thank you for loving us as sinners and for your plan of redemption. Thank you that we know that life is not will not come to an end as it does for animals, but that we will live on, and help us to keep this in our focus as we live for you from day to day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.